Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Brought a friend with me to church. You've seen this guy before. We've used him for other tricks and props. But today, we're going to use him again. I can't seem to... There we go. This is so comfortable to you. Me neither. You're going to remember this day. I have no idea what he said, but man alive, was it goofy looking. Troy, will you put the slide with the scripture on for me, please? I want to read this together. Actually, there are some underlined parts up here. I want us to read the underlined parts together. Okay, so let me handle the ununderlined, if you will, and read this other thing with me. Okay? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize where I'm going with this, do you? Is this poo strapped? Yeah. Someone's taking pictures. Thank you so much. It'll be all over the internet. It'll be wonderful. Yeah, great. Thanks, Don. I didn't have a monkey big enough. So I did this. Does this look like a good way to run a race? I mean, if you want to get your picture in the paper, I suppose it is. But if you're interested in doing anything significant or special in this race, I mean, Kirk May and Greg Flint, my friends that run races once in a while, they would never ever do this. Not even for money. Maybe enough money. But I ain't doing that. Because that just looks goofy. They would never, ever allow this to happen to them. Never. But when it comes to following Jesus, while living life, we can handicap ourselves just like this. Look at my monkey. Look at my big poo on my back. And we try it, and we try it, and we try it, and we drag around this thing. And we're trying to follow Jesus, and He says, come on. The Word says, throw off everything that hinders. That's why we're talking about the biggest loser in this Lenten season. We're talking about throwing off the things that hinder. I could stand to be a loser right now because I got this thing on my back. And I assure you that it's not God's intention for us to pursue Him while dragging our junk. It's not God's intention for us to pursue Him while dragging our sin around on our back. I mean, Jesus died to rid us of this. Not help us manage it somehow. Okay? But if we're going to talk about sin today, we're going to talk about sin some, just to warn you. We need to be on the same page as to what sin is. Sin is our problem. Big problem. We carry it around on our back. And religion, whatever kind of religion you want to name, religion is somehow structured to deal with this. Some religions celebrate this. I know how we'll deal with it. We'll embrace it. Okay? Some make us jump through all kinds of hoops to get rid of this. Christianity says Jesus died so we wouldn't have to do this. So we wouldn't have to carry this around. Jesus died so that these things could be forgiven and wiped away and taken from us. Now, within Christianity, there are all kinds of different ways to define this. And we're going to talk about... Well, I can't even see over the top of my glasses. We're going to talk about what this is for a minute. Okay? We are a Wesleyan church in our tradition. There are all kinds of Wesleyan churches. Methodist churches are Wesleyan churches. Wesleyan churches are Wesleyan churches. How about that? Church of Christ, Church of God in Anderson. There's all kinds of churches that hold to Wesley's teaching and writing. And John Wesley just didn't come up with this like out of the air. Okay, he synthesized Scripture. He synthesized Christian thought that was coming from many different directions, and he wrote it down and he preached it, and this is how a Wesleyan church will define sin. A willful transgression. A willful transgression of the known law of God. There are other Christian traditions that define sin differently, okay? And because they define sin differently, the structure of the things that they believe are to answer that sin problem. And no one has the corner on right and wrong on this. I'm just telling you that this, in a Wesleyan tradition, we say willful transgression of a known law of God. So if sin is a willful and on-purpose decision to ignore this and do this, sin always requires a conscious decision. The good news is, you can't accidentally sin. Oops. Bad news is, it's an on-purpose decision. That's why repentance is required. When we talk about repentance, we talk about turning from those conscious decisions that we make when God forgives us. So because sin is not an accident, but it's an on-purpose, we believe that God forgives us and changes us so that it is possible to live without sin. We believe that God can change our hearts continually, 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 so that we avoid those conscious decisions. So if we think that, if we understand that God, that sin is an on-purpose decision, why do we keep doing it? I mean, really. It's always, always about choosing my way instead of God's way. It's always a choice. So what is it that makes me think this way? That my way is more important than God's way? What is it inside me that goes, you know, God, I mean, you're ruler of the universe and everything, but hey, I got other stuff to do. And I'm going to do it. I want to introduce you to someone. I brought him with me this morning. I had him on my back for a while. I want to introduce you to Pride. Isn't he fat? You know why he's fat? Because I feed him regularly. He's big, and he's fat, and he's proud to be Pride. Hasn't learned to set up very well yet. But there he is. Pride is a barrier. Pride is the thing that we carry around that makes us think that we know better than God. Pride is this thing that we have trouble getting over, getting through, dealing with, because we keep feeding it. Let me read to you Psalm 138, just one verse. In the middle of this psalm, David is talking about the kings of the earth praising him and all these things. And he says this, Though the Lord is exalted, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise, like we sang about. Though the Lord is exalted, He looks kindly on the lowly. Another version says, He looks with compassion on the humble. But He takes notice of the proud from afar. That God looks, David says. And He sees the humble people, and it's easy for Him to embrace us when we are humble. But when we're proud, He looks at us from afar. It's difficult for me to get my head around that. That when I am proud, when I am full of myself, when I think I know what I'm doing, God has difficulty doing this. He's like, still looks at me, but from afar. I've seen people be proud of all kinds of things. So have you. I've seen people be proud of their humility, if that were possible. It is, trust me. Oh, I'm so humble, I'm proud of it. Good, great. I've seen people be proud of their righteousness. If they think they've got it all together and like those Wesleyan teachings that I said before about living without sins, they'll brag about how they haven't sinned in 20 years. Really? I'd like to follow them around for 20 minutes. But anyway. I've seen people, and you have too, take pride in their sin. I'm so bad. I've done so many bad things. And I'm going to keep doing bad things because I'm so bad. Well, that's a great thing to be proud of. How nasty you are. Good. But pride is what I think makes me special. It's that thing. I'm special. Here, have another snack. I'm special. I'm different. I'm not talking about identity. Identity is what we understand makes us unique. Pride is what we believe makes us special. Pride was the thing that Satan appealed to Eve in the garden when man first sinned. He says, what is this? You can be like God. Wouldn't you be proud to be like God? Well, give me that apple, baby. And we do it, and we keep doing it, and we're doing it. Pride is the favorite, and some may say, only lie that the enemy of our souls tells us. That we can be proud. Pride can be deceptively positive. I'm good. I'm better. I'm the best. I'm well-intentioned. So the rules don't apply. It can be deceptively negative. I'm a victim of my circumstance. I'm a victim of my own sin. I'm a victim of other people's sin. And so, I'm too weak to keep the rules. So the rules don't apply. Either way, there's only two rules, according to Jesus. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then He went on to say, all of God's commandments, all of the Scriptures, are contained in those two rules. Love God, love people. And the bottom line is that pride, an unhealthy love for myself, crowds out the capacity to do anything else. It's two rules. I mean, in the two rules. We can't keep them. And I know what you're thinking, because it's what I was thinking when I was writing this. You're thinking, I was born with this. I've been feeding this since I was a pup. That's why it's so big and handsome. I have a lot invested in this here. And to think that I can just unload it, well, how am I going to do that? I don't care if it is Lent, for crying out loud. I like this. How am I supposed to lose it? Terry talked last week. Asked us if we wanted to be chiseled or molded. Because we look at this and we say, that's going to hurt, losing that. That's going to hurt. We've all had times when that, our pride, was squashed to some degree. Sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose, sometimes by people who just wanted to be cruel for the sake of being cruel, sometimes by God who didn't want to be cruel, He just wanted to love us, so He takes a hunk of that. That hurts. How am I supposed to lose that? I've got some ideas about how we can unload this, how we can be free of this, how we can lose it big time. First of all, I think the first step to unloading our pride is to realize that there is a God and you're not Him. Pretty simple in theory. Difficult in practice. There is a God, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise, and it is not me. As much as I'd like it to be some days, you know, if I were God for just one day. No. There is a God, and you're not Him. Here's the second thing. Put your pride on a starvation diet by refusing to compare yourself with other people. Remember the fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? If our eyes are fixed on Jesus as the one who is molding us, the one who is changing us, the one who is taking this, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus and not on other people, this becomes easier. Let me tell you how. I did this step. Have you ever heard anyone, or perhaps you, have said something along this line? Did you hear what she said? Did you hear that? I would never say anything like that. Huh? Did you see what he did? Can you believe he did that? Oh, I would never do anything like that. Now, it sounds righteous. It sounds good. It sounds healthy. But it's about comparing ourselves to someone else and not Jesus. Can you believe the way they spend their money? Oh, I would never, ever, even if I had all the money in the world, I would never do that. Uh-huh. Comparing ourselves to others feeds our pride. If we put our pride on a starvation diet by saying, I'm not going to compare myself to others anymore. I'm going to look to Jesus, the perfecter of my faith, and see in Him what I need to be, and we stop comparing ourselves to others. Here's another way to help chisel away or mold away or let God take care of the pride. Understand what really makes you special. It's not your stuff. It's not your lack of stuff. It's not your family, whether they're heroes or miscreants. I just wanted to use miscreants in a sermon. That worked out good, didn't it? Whether your family is heroes or miscreants, it's not about your power and it's not about your weakness. If you are in Christ, if you are trying to follow Him, if you understand that He died so that this could be taken off my back, if you've asked Him to take this from you, know this, that He made you as a unique expression of Himself. Losing your pride is not about losing your identity. It's losing what you have invested in your identity. Losing your pride is realizing that God has created you as a unique expression of Himself. This is not, you know, you will be assimilated. Okay? This is about realizing how God has uniquely expressed Himself in you. Heaven forbid that we all become the same. That would be creepy. It's God expressing Himself uniquely in us because He made us unique in order to express Him uniquely. Now the hard part. giving God our pride, saying, God, take this, starve it, mold it, do whatever you need to do with it. This can hurt. It's scary. It is, can be, probably will be completely terrifying to say, God, you can take this part of me that I have so much invested in. That ought to scare us. That's why the Scriptures call this, surrendering this to God, that's why they call it dying. It's not happy, happy, joy, joy. It's God, take this thing. Who will I be if I'm not the person that I've made? Who will I be if I'm not the things that I've accumulated? Who will I be if I'm not the power that I've managed to broker? This is where faith comes in. This is where trusting that God can take better care of the eternal part of you than you can. I mean, that's a big responsibility that some of us have taken. I'm going to take care of the eternal part of me. I'm going to make sure that it's well-fed, cared for, all that stuff, because I don't trust God to do it. And God is saying, come on. Eternity is a long time. You don't have that kind of stamina. I can do this. This is what Jesus said about it. He was talking to the folks with some very, very difficult teaching in Matthew 16. He said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my follower, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Crosses are for killing things. Take up your cross, put this on it, follow me. For whoever wants to save their life, and we all certainly want to save our life, will lose it. But whoever loses their life will find it. What good will it be for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? What can you give exchange for your own soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward everyone according to what they've done. Last question. We're all thinking about this. Some of us are thinking about this. And we're going, I'm not so sure about that one. Let me ask you this. If King Jesus, this one that we just read about, who would come with His angels and all that stuff, if He were to come, Eastern doors, if He were to come through those doors right now, what would happen to your pride? I mean, Jesus comes cruising in here and stands in front of you and says, hey, how y'all doing? This is running and hiding. Am I right? The one who died for us, the one who is the Prince of the universe, the one who is standing before us, this is going away in a hurry. So if we can picture getting rid of this when He's standing before us, know this. The Holy Spirit of God is among us. Now, the Spirit of Christ is here because we are here. So if you're going to be a loser, be a big loser. If you're going to be a loser, what would it be like to lose this so that God is no longer looking at us from afar, but embracing the humble? Let's pray about this. God, I thank You for Your love and Your kindness. God, it is a brave and dangerous and terrifying thing for us to think about taking our pride and giving it to You, because we've got a whole lot invested in it. But Lord, I pray today that You would not need to look at us from afar, but that You would give us strength, that You would give us that faith, that You would give us that bravery to surrender that part of us, our prideful part,
to you. God, I ask that you would take it, that you would forgive us for deciding that our way was better than your way, and that you would continue to mold us, work in us, chisel us, so that you see yourself as you look into the mirror of our souls. God, we want you. We want you. Please work. In your name we ask. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.